One of life's greatest treasures is childhood memories. And the older you get, perhaps the more precious those are to you to think back to your childhood. To many, that's T-O many, have memories of a home that's filled with love and with laughter and a close family bond. Their memories are of a family gathered around the supper table. Their memory has to do with time spent together, reading a book, playing with toys. They have fond memories of promises that mom and dad made and they fulfilled at the sacrifice that they had to make to fulfill those promises. They have memories of family traditions that is little of moment to anyone else, but it's very special to them. Family memories. They have memories of vacations and special fun they had. They even have memories of discipline and spankings and how both they and their parents cried. To many, they have memories of a home filled with love and laughter and a close family bond. But too many, T-O-O many, have memories that are not so fond. In fact, their memories are painful of their home. They may have memories that are of a miserable home. Some have that miserable memory of a home. They remember a family that was dysfunctional. There are some who would say, you know what, if any family was dysfunctional, it is our family. They have memories of verbal and physical and even sexual abuse. They have memories of alcohol dad drank, or maybe mom was the one that drank. They may have suffered divorce in the family. And they suffered because mom and dad didn't get along. There are others that are not so much misery, but they're void of the bond they wished they had. They see others have, but they wish they had. They may have the memory of dad working all the time. Or they have the memory that there was no time to play or to help with a problem. I had problems, I had difficulties, I went to mom, I went to dad, no one would help. They didn't have time for us. Mom was never at home. Kids raised themselves. Miserable memories of home. They may have memories of complaints where they never measured up. That no matter what I did or what I tried, I didn't seem to ever please mom or dad. And they always complained. Even when I did better than I did before, they still complained that I could do even better. Never measured up. Too many, T-O-O many, have memories that are painful. So we raise the question, how can we have families that create great memories? Particularly those who are young in your family life, how can you have and create a family and create an environment that when your children are grown, they have fond memories of a family? The kind of home that the child will look back upon with fond memories. Where we build the kind of childhood memories that you will not be ashamed for your child to have. You would be glad to hear what your child reports to others when they get aged and when they get older, when they say, here's what it was like in my family growing up, that you're not ashamed at all for them to tell the details. Let's talk this morning about memories of home. You have memories of your home, maybe good, maybe bad. You might be a part of those many that have fond memories of their childhood. You might be among those groups that is the too many that have sad memories of home. Let's talk about memories of home. How do we have a home where we build good memories? Let's start, first of all, with unconditional love. If you want to have childhood memories, your child to have childhood memories that are fond, you start with unconditional love. Let's start with this principle. Parents are to love their children. This ought to be obvious, but let's get the biblical principle and then we'll make some application. Let's go to Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14, or verse 4 rather. Titus 2 and in verse 4. This is where the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. You'd think that doesn't need to be taught, and yet the Apostle Paul thought that Titus needed to teach some people that the older women need to teach the younger women to love their children. Parents are to love their children. Let's go to another passage, this time the book of Proverbs. Proverbs talks so much about the family relationship. And verse 12 of chapter 3 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." Fathers ought to delight in their children and correct them because of love. We'll talk about the correction later. I'm focusing on the love right now. The parents are to love their children. Let's go to a passage in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 11 the text says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "As you know, we exhorted you and comforted you and charged every one of you as a father does his own children." What Paul is talking about here is we cared for you and we loved you and we showed that affection towards you just like a father does to his children. Children are to be loved by their parents. That's the point I want you to see. And I want to tell you that children remember the expressions of love. They're going to remember being told, "I love you." They're going to remember hearing, "I'm proud of you." They're going to remember those hugs and those kisses. They're going to remember being shown tenderness and care and affection. They'll remember that all the days of their life. They're going to remember knowing they could talk to their parents. That even if they messed up, they made a mistake, they know that parents are not going to yell at them. They're going to calmly talk with them because they recognize family love. Children need to know that they are important to their parents. Children need to be enforced with this principle that you're more important than our money, our jobs, or our friends. Yes, we have friends, we have jobs, and whatever money we have, you are far more important than that. Children need to have unconditional love. Children need to be told they're more important than other people and their demands. Whatever the boss may be demanding of me, whatever the church may be demanding, whatever my friends may be demanding or other family members, you are more important than that. Children need to be told that. They need to be assured of such by each day ending with a good night and "I love you and I'm proud of you." Children that are loved learn to show affection themselves. One author said children learn what they live. If a child lives with criticism, they learn to condemn. If they live in hostility, they learn to fight. If they live with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If they live with shame, they learn to be guilty. If they live with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If they live with encouragement, they have confidence. If they live with praise, they learn to appreciate. If they live with fairness, they learn justice. If they live with security, they have faith. If they live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If they live with acceptance and friendship, they learn to love, find love in the world. I say amen. But what a sad situation it is when a child's memory is this, when they say, "You know what, I can never remember mom and dad ever telling me I love you. I just don't remember that." What sadness it is when a child says, "You know what, I don't think I ever had my dad give me a hug. I just don't think I remember that." And how sad it is when a child can say, "You know what, I never could tell my dad if I messed up because I know he would have just yelled and hollered at me. And I couldn't take that, so I never told him when I messed up. I just couldn't do that." How sad it is when a child says, "You know what, I felt unwanted at home. I felt like I was just in the way. I was in the way of my parents accomplishing their dreams and their hopes, and I was just kind of pushed aside. I didn't feel that unconditional love." I want to tell you, counselors say that's very common for children to say, "I don't remember parents saying I love you. I don't remember dad giving me a hug. And I remember it being yelled at and I felt like I was in the way." You want good memories of home. You want your children to have good memories of home. Not only do you start with unconditional love, you need to have family time together. Family time together. You see, children should be treated as a blessing and not a curse. Let's go to Psalm 127. Let's get the Bible principle again, then let's make some application. So let's go to the 127th Psalm, And let's start at verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. In other words, what I'm learning from that is children should not be treated as something unwanted. You're in my way, but you are a blessing to me. Children are a blessing and not a curse. Let's go to the book of Proverbs 23. And look at verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let the father of your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Now, I recognize the proverb is talking about live in such a way so they rejoice in the way that you live. But what I'm learning from that is that parents should rejoice in their children. Children are a blessing and not a curse. Children are going to remember parents that had regular family time. They remember that. You see, children grow up and they remember the time when you eat supper together, when you ate a meal together, you sat down at the table together. They'll remember the time that you took to read a Bible story to them every day. And they're going to remember the playtime that you had. Yeah, it may not be accomplishing a whole lot you think. There are other things that need to be done. Things in the yard. There are things at the office. There are things around the house. But you took time to play with them. More about that later. Children remember the sacrifice that you made. The things you canceled to have family time. That you canceled plans with someone else. Or you refused to go somewhere to do something because you wanted family time. They'll remember you riding bikes and throwing the ball and, yes, playing with dolls. They'll remember that. They'll remember you working together, maybe doing yard work or cleaning the house or whatever it may be. They'll remember the time you spent with them working together as well as playing together. You see, that family time builds communication lines with your children. Quite often parents talk about, I can't communicate, I can't talk to my child, I don't know, they won't listen to me. But that family time builds communication lines, it creates a bond. Those casual conversations that may not amount to much while you're playing with toys or while you're throwing the ball or while you're riding the bike opens up doors to feelings and to ideas and to needs and to their goals. You get some insight to what they're thinking. You see, that family time allows parents and children to build a relationship where they can talk through problems and disagreement because they can talk about casual things. They can later talk about more important things. A child who trusts their parents in daily matters, I mean little trivial matters, will learn to trust them when the real crisis comes, because there will be a crisis they will have at some point in your life. Begins with family time. I want to suggest to you that families that are together are not always together. And some have the idea, I want to spend some family time, and so we're together as a family, but sometimes what we're doing as a family, we're engaging in activities where we cannot interact with one another. Maybe one or both parents are preoccupied. We're all together, we're in the same room, but maybe we're on our phones. Or maybe we're reading something or doing something so that we're not involved with the children and with family activities. And often we include others, maybe it's friends and other family, so that we're not interacting with our child. I want to be together as my family, but we involve them in a larger group always, so that we're not spending one-on-one with our children. And then we wonder why they won't listen to us. We're talking about childhood memories, and I want to suggest to you that it's sad if a child grows up and has the memories. You know what? Mom and Dad were always too busy for me. Mom and Dad didn't have time for me. I don't ever remember us doing anything together. Mom did her thing, Dad did her thing, and us children did whatever we... But we never did anything together. I don't ever remember us taking a family trip, someone may say, or vacations together. I don't remember that. I don't remember us having family time. I do remember someone may say, just leave me alone or go away. I'm busy. No time for family. I'll tell you, one of these days when the children have all grown up and they have left home, we may wish we had just a little more time. Just a little more time. We're talking about building childhood memories. Memories of home. You begin with unconditional love, and then you take with that some family time together. And then let's add to that some careful concern. Now let's start again with the Bible principle. Children will remember discipline and restrictions and rules. Now, every one of us who are old enough to be grown and away from home, you can look back to your childhood and you either remember there were restrictions and there were rules and there was discipline, or you may remember there was none. But you remember one way or the other, you remember the restrictions and rules. Now let's take some Bible principles and let's talk about the restrictions and rules. Let's go to some passages that we know quite well. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22 and notice in verse 6. You know this passage well. Train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That suggests some careful concern. I'm giving emphasis to concern. That is, I'm concerned about the child. I'm concerning about how I'm raising the child, but I'm careful with my concern. Train a child in the way that he should go. We'll come back to that context here in just a moment. Let's go to the New Testament this time, the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. That implies restrictions and rules. And the rearing and the training of your children. Let's go back to Proverbs now. Back to the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, the 13th division and verse 24. The text says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he that loves him disciplines him promptly. That tells us that there's going to be discipline, the execution of the rules. While we're in Proverbs, let's go to the 19th division. And notice in verse 18, you know the passage well. Chasten the son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. You mold and shape the child with rules and discipline and teaching while you can do something about the child. Now I said we'd come back to the context. Let's go back to chapter 22 of the book of Proverbs and notice in verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod will drive it far from him. What we're trying to establish is there needs to be discipline, restrictions, and rules. Children will remember discipline, restrictions, and rules. They're going to remember parents who use caution. Let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Next verse says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, what do I learn from that as it applies to the rearing and the raising of children? First of all, we need to use wisdom, not walking as fools, but as wise. Secondly, I learned from that same context, walk carefully, walk circumspectly, placing one foot carefully here and another foot very carefully there. So you have careful concern, which is what we're talking about. Use wisdom, walk carefully, and the reason for it is because the days are evil. Here's what I just learned from that. The more evil the environment, the more necessary it is to have careful and cautious concern. Do we live in an evil environment? We do live in an evil environment. And what this text is telling me is use wisdom and use caution and use concern in the rearing and the raising of our children. Parents are going to remember that. I want to suggest to you that discipline, restriction, and rules will be interpreted as parental care and concern and love. Maybe not at the moment that it's a discipline, that it's administered. But as a child grows up, they're going to look back and they're going to remember. There is care and concern that my parents had because they disciplined. They had rules. James Dobson suggests this. The children look for boundaries and then hit them repeatedly as a sense of comfort. Now stop and think about that. You say, I noticed that I set the rules and my child keeps hitting the boundaries and testing the boundaries. But as they test those boundaries, there is a sense of comfort there. Years ago, we had a dog that we had this radio fence and had a collar that reacted to that radio fence that would shock when they got to the boundary. And I found it interesting, the dog would go to the fence every time you'd let him out, go to the limits of the fence and get shocked and then bounce back and seem to be relaxed inside the fence. The battery would go dead and he would go to test it and just keep going, and the dog seemed to be nervous. What was he doing? He's testing the boundaries. When there are boundaries, there is a sense of comfort. The same thing is true with kids. They test those boundaries and they're interpreted indeed as being care and concern and love. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. What I'm learning from Hebrews 12 and in verse 9 is that children grow up and later look back and respect the discipline they received, whether they liked it at the moment or not. Look at verse 9. We had our fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. How much more shall we readily be in submission to the Father of spirits and live? I mean, we learned to respect our parents, but now that I'm grown, I look back and I remember the discipline and the restrictions and the rules, and you respect it more now than you did at the time. That's because we interpret that as love and care and concern. You see, when your children grow up and they look back, they're going to be glad you said no. Oh yes, they threw a fit when you said no and they rebelled, but they are going to remember and respect that you said no and that you set rules and you wouldn't allow certain things. They're going to respect that. You see, because your children are going to interpret restrictions and rules equals love and care, they're going to remember that. I want to tell you, it's sad when a child has memories of home and they say, you know what, my parents were pretty tolerant. They pretty much allowed us to do anything. I don't remember them forbidding much. I don't remember them ever telling me no. I don't recall them ever filtering my music, the TV, or the movies at all. Isn't that sad? We went to whatever movie we wanted, some child may say. We watched whatever TV we wanted. There were no restrictions. We could listen to any music. How sad, the childhood memories. I don't think mom and dad were very concerned, someone might say, about my friends. They never asked who my friends were or what they did or how they lived or what we were doing. You see, your children will grow up and recognize, you know what, that wasn't care and that wasn't concern. How sad it would be when a child grows up and says, you know what, at church I was allowed to sit anywhere I wanted and mom and dad never knew, nor did they seem to care whether I was paying attention or passing notes or I was talking. They just didn't really care. How sad. Memories of home. You want to build memories in your children when they look back with fond memories, then you go not only with unconditional love, family time, and careful concern, but conviction and service to the Lord. Now let's begin again with a Bible principle. Children will remember their parents' faith. Good or bad, they're going to remember their parents' faith. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 talks about faith that is genuine and real. And children are going to know whether your faith is genuine and real. Look at verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is, going through the trials and tribulations puts faith to the test to find out if it's real. And your children are going to see some of those tests that you go through, and they're going to see if it's real or not. The children are going to remember their parents' faith. They're going to remember whether or not their parents' faith was strong. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Remember Abraham's faith? I know this is a New Testament passage, but Paul is commenting in Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 19, about Abraham's faith. It says, not being weak in faith. He was not weak in faith. He was strong in faith. Abraham was. When you're dead and gone, your children will look back and say, I remember mom and dad had the faith they had. And they may say, you know what? Mom and dad's faith was strong. Or they may say, you know what? It's kind of weak. See, they're going to know and see if the parents are sincere as hypocrites. Nobody else may see, but the children, you guarantee, are going to see through you if there's hypocrisy. They're going to see that. They're going to know that. You see, they're going to understand when decisions are based upon faith. We walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, 7, and not by sight. They're going to know when you made a decision based upon faith or whether it was a matter of convenience. We're going to church tonight. They know whether or not that's a conviction of faith or whether or not that was convenient because you missed the other time when it was not convenient to go. They're going to know the difference. They know when you make decisions based on faith. They're going to remember whether or not you ever missed a service. See, children grow up and they'll remember, you know what? In our house, we never missed a service. We never went, never missed. We never did anything else but go to church on a Sunday or Wednesday. They're going to recognize whether or not there was respect in the home for God's order. You see, the children are going to hear preaching and teaching about the man is the head of the household. Husband is the head of the wife. They know in your home whether or not the father is leading or whether the wife is the leader. Brethren may not know, but I guarantee your children know who wears the pants in the family. They sure know that. They've got an idea what's going on. And they know whether or not you have respect for the eldership. And your children grow up with a healthy respect for elders. It's because you had that healthy respect yourself. You're critical constantly of elders and have little esteem for elders. Then you wonder why your children don't have any respect for elders. You see, they're going to see that respect for authority. They're going to understand the principle of church discipline from what they see in the home. And they're going to understand about the principle of divorce and remarriage and respect for God's authority beginning first of all in the home. Children will remember having parents who made serving God the center of their life. Not as an aspect of the life, not one slice of the pie, but as the center of their life. Let's go to Acts chapter 27. You remember Paul on the ship at the shipwreck in Acts chapter 27 and verse 23, that when he talked about there appeared to me an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, he said. I belong to God and I serve God, he said. And I cite Daniel 3 without turning there because here were the friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what they said, the God we serve. We serve God. You see, children are going to see whether or not you have this attitude. We belong to God and we serve our God. What a memory that everything is worked around based upon serving God. Everything. Our work, our school, our family, everything is worked around serving God. Children see that. Never a question of whether we're going to church. Never a question are we going to miss. And I want to tell you that such service builds faith. That kind of service develops genuine character and it strengthens relationships in the family and with others as well. But I want to tell you, it's sad when the childhood memories are, you know, my parents had faith, but it sure was weak. I wouldn't describe mom and dad as having strong faith. Wouldn't that be sad? And our service was spasmodic. We got on fire at times, but then there's times we kind of backed off. And dad, you see, was not what he tried to appear to be to others. He tried to put on a front, but at home, I'm going to tell you, he's a different guy. He didn't have the conviction in service. And mom allowed so many things to hinder her attendance. Wow. It's not what y'all thought she was. Wouldn't it be sad if your children said that? You want good childhood memories of home, we need to have example and instruction. Example and instruction. You see, children are going to remember their parents' sterling character. Without taking the time, because we've just recently had a lesson where we dealt with these two passages, I want to suggest to you that as a rule, children turn out to be just like their parents. Not always. I know there's exceptions. Ezekiel 18 illustrates that. But like mother, like daughter, Ezekiel 16, 44, the 2 Chronicles passage was Jehoshaphat turned out just like his father. He learned it from his father. And so we often turn out to be just like our parents. And children may turn out to be just like you. See, children are going to remember your sterling character. They're going to see, and later they're going to appreciate, whether they do now or not, that calm, steady leadership in the family. They're going to know whether dad had a steady hand as a leader in the home. They're going to know that. They're going to remember that. The kind of leadership that would calmly discuss and listen to and value the child's opinion. Or just shuts the child up and dismisses them as being unimportant to listen to dad because dad's got the rules to make. Or do they listen to the child and try to understand the child? Children are going to remember that. They're going to remember whether or not you exercise self-control. They're going to remember times. I remember seeing dad. I just remember that he was very calm when I thought he was going to blow up. Mom, I saw the same way. They're going to remember whether mom and dad had a good self-image, confidence, and happy that instilled that in their children. They're going to remember and see emphasis on the family and honor and Bible and living right and being right. They're going to know whether or not you gave greater emphasis to school and to work and to money than you did to being a family and following the Bible and living in harmony with the will of God. See, children are going to remember what their parents taught them. Parents are teachers, by the way. Train a child in the way they should go. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them the fear of God, Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 6 repeats the same principle. I want to tell you there's much in which we need to instruct our children. We need to instruct them in the Bible. We need to take the Bible, not just in Bible class, but we need to take our Bibles at home and teach that to our children. Help them with their Bible lessons, but help them learn Bible doctrine. Help them learn Bible information. Just Bible stories that may not involve Bible doctrine. But there's more than that. We need to teach them the difference in right and wrong, basic morals and basic honesty that begins with the Bible. We need to teach our children. We need to teach them behavior and wisdom, what's appropriate and what's not, what's wise and what's not. You know, that's not good behavior. We're not going to behave that way again. It may not necessarily always involve a violation of the will of God, but that's just not wise behavior. Teach them wisdom. We need to teach them how to treat other people, how to react to people. Teach them to be hard workers. We live in a society now where it's hard to find people that work hard, that are willing to work. You know where that began? Not in the church. It began in the home. It begins in the home. Colossians chapter 3. Turn there with me for a moment. Colossians chapter 3. This is talking about those who are servants. This would apply to employees. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. You work for others in whatever job you fulfill, just like you're working for the Lord, like He's your boss and He hired you. I don't tell you, people are not doing that today. Where'd that start? Because we're not teaching that in the home. We're not teaching the work ethic. We need to teach our children about life. Teach the young boys how to fix things and how to build things, how to take care of an animal, how to share with others. Teach the young girls how to sew and to cook and to clean and do crafts and handle their money. Why do we have people that don't know how to do anything? They don't know how to do a thing in the house. They don't know how to fix a flat tire. They don't know how to do a thing. It's because mom and dad aren't teaching. Children are going to remember that parents took time to allow them to learn and to make mistakes rather than taking it away and doing it themselves. You see, that child learning to mow the grass for the first time may not do the best job. But let them do their job rather than taking it away and teaching them that you don't have any confidence in them. Children remember what they were taught. But it's sad when a child remembers this. They remember, you know what? I remember tempers that flared in our home. Isn't it sad when children grow up and they say, you know what? I just remember in our home, I just remember a lot of hollering and a lot of screaming. I remember that. And I remember language that was colorful. By colorful, we mean it was flavored with some bad words. And sad when a child remembers that what they learned, that someone else took the time to show them and teach them, and it wasn't mom and dad. I remember this one teaching me this, and that one teaching me this, and someone else, but I remember mom and dad, they didn't teach me that. They didn't teach me about life. They didn't teach me about the Bible. But what I do remember the child may say is I remember emphasis on the television, and I remember emphasis on sports and material things in school. I do remember that. but I don't remember their example and their instructions. Memories of home. What kind of memories does your child have of home? We've talked about unconditional love, family time, careful concern, conviction and service, an example and instruction. You are familiar with this question in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 14. The question was, what have they seen in your house? What have your children seen in your house? What are your children seeing now? For some of us, our children are grown. It's too late to go back and redo any of that. There are many others sitting here that you're just now getting started, or you're in the middle of raising your children. Are you creating memories of home that your children can look back and have fond memories? Are they a part of those too many, T-O many, that have fond memories? Or T-O-O many, too many, have sad, miserable memories? What have they seen in your house? What a good question to ask. There may be one or more present this morning who's not a Christian, who's not a child of God. Would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?